today on Real Radio.
The world would hate the Jew. God said, if you reject me, the world will hate you. But he said, I will not allow you to come to a full end. He said, before I come back, I'm going to return you into your own land.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages where he discusses some biblical insights regarding events that are currently affecting our culture. This is a worldview series that addresses what many believers say are the most important issues that affect on a social level. Today's topic, Israel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters.
Our biblical worldview on politics in Israel, God's witness to the world, is the Jew. First of all, I had to share this with you. If winning the Nobel Prize was based upon an ethnic group, then you would want to be a Jew. Members of the Jewish race have won more Nobel Prizes, awards in science, economics, arts, technology, and they lead the world in patents. Did you know that? If you're born in Israel, the probability of you, or if you're a Jew, the probability of you winning a Nobel Prize puts all of us on the back of the line. Go figure that. So that's weird. That's God. He's favoring them. He's always said they're my people, but they've been in so much trouble. Yes, he said that too. He said, if you reject me, you're going to be cast out to all the nations of the world and you're going to become a hissing. That's a bad term, a hissing. People are going to say, are you a Jew? You're a Jew. Get away. You're a Jew. The world would hate the Jew. God said, if you reject me, the world will hate you. But he said, I will not allow you to come to a full end. He said, before I come back, I'm going to return you into your own land. Just that alone, mathematically, is impossible. God's witness to the world is the Jew. Remarkable. Look at this. Israel Today magazine, The Battle Over Israel's Newfound Riches, Part 2. They've been doing this story. Israel is trying to keep the lid on the news of how much oil and natural gas they have found. It's ginormous, ladies and gentlemen. It is staggering. Israel's independence, because it's been doing research and drilling. By the way, we've been helping them, thank God. But there's a battle forming because Syria says it's theirs. Lebanon says it's theirs. Turkey says it's theirs. And now Egypt's going to get in the fight and say it's their natural resources, even though Israel has drilled it and added to its coffers. Its economy is exploding. And for the first time, it's kind of cute. They call it Silicon Wadi, which a wadi is a valley, is a wash, creek bed. And why is it being called that? Because it is now surpassing California's Silicon Valley in high-tech development. It's amazing. In a nation the size of New Jersey that is hated more than any other country on the face of the earth. Why? Because God loves Israel, and he's getting it ready. Well, listen, there's a book written by George Gilder. It's called The Israel Test, and the author, George Gilder, points out that the remarkable results that have come upon the nation or a people who pass what Gilder calls the Israel Test in his book released in 2009 is staggering. In this book by George Gilder, he puts the nations of the world up to a test regarding how they deal with Israel. And he matches their politics with Israel and their relationship with Israel. And then he looks at the stabilities and the issues of those nations. And he shows you how those nations who are favorable towards Israel are blessed by God. When Israel has been the most persecuted, the most hated, the most segregated, and yet how can this be the most envied people in the region? Isn't that interesting? A lot of people hate Israel because it's so blessed. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. It was our daily reading today, all of you who are reading in the daily Bible. Isaiah 49, verse 7 says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of who? Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor. To the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel. It's not Canada. It's not Peru. And he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in the acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate places, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed among the roads, and their pastures shall be on the desolate heights. Referencing God's blessings coming to the nation of Israel. The Jewish people, the Jewish state to come, has been given a promise. And this promise has yet never been realized. After the great tribulation period, the Messiah and the second coming, Jesus returns. And listen to this, mark it down. This is Bible prophecy. If you are a Christian, you must embrace Bible prophecy. Why do I? Because it's prophecy, Bible prophecy, it's eschatological, the promise that God would save mankind through Eve's offspring. Did you know that? In the book of Genesis chapter 3, a prophetic announcement, prophecy given by God that the Messiah would come forth from Eve. That's prophecy. Jeremiah 31, 31 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I make a new covenant. What? Yep. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Watch this. God's going to make a new covenant. I thought he already had one with them. He's got an old one with them right now. Not according to the covenant that I made with them with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. How'd they break it? All kinds of ways, but partly Moses threw down the representation because the people had already broken it. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after the end times, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God's not done with Israel. Neither should you be. Our biblical worldview on politics in Israel, number three, is God's promise to the world a blessing. God's promise to the world regarding Israel, a blessing. World history began, as I mentioned earlier, in what is called the cradle of civilization. But watch this. We know exactly where that was and what became of it. We also know that out of that region, God called a man, chosen by God, a man called Abraham or Abram, from where? Ur of the Chaldees. This always gets my Jewish friends a little bit nervous when I tell them this, and yet, to date, as of yet, I've not had one refute this. Abraham, that is our father, Abraham. Yeah, that's great. Me too, super great, listen. But he's Jewish. Well, hang on, hold your horses. Abraham, it says in the Bible, God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Did you hear that? Abraham, God declared Abraham his friend because Abraham believed God before Moses ever came around, before there was ever a Ten Commandments. Think of that. Hey. So I want to ask you, what law did Abraham keep when there was no law? And then, God's covenant with Israel was circumcision. But God called Abraham his friend and declared him a man of faith before Abraham was ever circumcised. Thus, being called from Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan worshiping, polytheistic region of the world, in the cradle of civilization, a nomadic wanderer, uncircumcised with no law, the first Jew was the last Gentile. He was a Gentile. I almost said it right. He was a Gentile. Abraham was a Gentile before he was a Jew. How'd the change happen? Faith in God. Think of that. In fact, the word Jew means to praise God. Did you know that? That's why Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says that you're a Jew in the spirit because your heart has been circumcised and you worship God in truth. Yes, but I'm a Portuguese Christian. Nah, you know what? But I'm an African-American. Nah. Hey, you know what? You, isn't it amazing? You are a child of God. And because you worship the Lord, isn't that interesting? You're a child of Abraham. Wow. We could talk on this part forever, but we only have minutes left. And I'm in so much trouble. We'll go really fast. Genesis chapter 12. God's promise to the world a blessing. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. That's a big deal. To a land that I will show you. That's called the promised land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall... Is his name great? Isn't it amazing? Look, we're thousands of years later reading it tonight. Man, if you're a doubter, if you're not a believer, what in the world's going on in your head? This is awesome. Look what he says in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amazing. Awesome. And I would say today Israel is a great nation. Embryonic, but in a great nation. You watch. God says he's going to make, yes, regarding faith, those coming from Abraham, but one of those tremendous manifestations is that God would make Israel, against all odds, a great nation. And just for fun, Isaiah 27, verse 6 says, Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. What a joke! Are you kidding me? Do you know if you would have read that verse 80 years ago, 60 years ago, you would have gotten, are you crazy? This has got to be a mess up in the Bible. Do you realize in the last 60 years, Israel is filling the earth? Israel fills Europe with fruit and vegetables. It's remarkable. 60 years ago, Israel was desolate, man, a wasteland. God's promise to the world, a blessing if you'll bless Israel. Be a blessing to Israel. Hey, look, I'd be a fool if I didn't tell you tonight, I'm voting in this November election for the guy who supports Israel. Amen. I'm voting for a guy who is with Israel, who has friends in Israel, who doesn't shun Israel, who's for Israel. Why? Because it meets up with the three Trinity criteria that I will apply. Israel, don't mess with Israel. God says, you mess with Israel, and I'll remove my blessing from your country, from your nation. Think of that. Yeah, but you know what? I don't know who to vote for. I don't believe with either one of their religions. What are you bringing that topic up for? Jesus is king. Have you ever voted for a non-believer? Hey, you know what? I will vote for an atheist who's moral, who has got a good voting record about Israel, the unborn, and for traditional marriage, biblical marriage. You're not voting for your Messiah. Wake up, Christian. Oh, I'm just going to stay home and not vote. Then you're voting for the other guy. No, I'm just going to stay home and vote. Listen, you have got to vote your biblical worldview. You need to think this through. Oh, I'm going to Twitter that. Calm down and think before you tweet. We should have bumper stickers. Think before you tweet. You know why? Because you'll be found out to be foolish. Think about, God's going to hold me accountable for defending the preborn. Next topic. Marriage that produces a society and culture and builds a city and a town and a family. I'm going to vote for the guy that supports that view. Next topic, Israel. God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel. I'll curse those who curse it. What's the voting record of these guys? I'm going to vote for this guy who supports Israel. Look, I don't care if Mickey Mouse is running against Pluto. I'm going to look at their voting records, and that's how I, in my lifetime of voting, will not allow the party affiliation to sway my vote. Never. It's how, what they think about those three things that God is extremely passionate about. And if you don't like that, you need to take that up with God, because this is the heartbeat of God. Israel, the preborn, and God says, this is what marriage is. That is so politically incorrect. I'm trying the best I can. Number four, God's warning to the world. What is God's warning to the world? Answer, Jerusalem. Zechariah 12:1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding nations reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. That's the NIV. That's very gentle. Injure themselves. Okay? Imagine a man trying to pick up a 5,000-pound bowling ball and his guts come out of him. Any nation who tries to move Jerusalem, they will rupture. That's what God's word is to those nations. Do you know what's being discussed in the United Nations? What to do with Jerusalem. Oh, by the way, a little bit of a little clue here. It ain't moving anywhere, because the Bible says when Jesus returns, he returns to Jerusalem. So it's not going to move. I don't bet, but I would. That's a bet. It ain't moving. And I just thought, I wanted to throw this in because it's amazing about blessing Jerusalem, blessing Israel. There's a big debate right now about the candidates, about where is the Jerusalem capital, is Israel's capital Jerusalem or not. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but guys, throw it up on the screen. If you've never seen this before, it's too bad. But you'll see it back in Washington, you'll see it in Virginia. Do you know who invented this? Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know. Don't say it. You know, do you? That's awesome. Anybody else? Man, you young guys, I'm proud of you. Come on, old people. Where are you? Listen to this. Rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God. Some guy, I'll tell you who it is in a minute. Some guy thought, you know what? This nation of ours that we're forming is going to need a logo. And I just got back from Europe, and I saw a lot of logos, and they're all godless. Well, in light of our story, in light of what's happening here, I am going to submit this to the Congress to be voted on, at least considered, to be the logo emblem of these 13 United States of America. And so what he drew up was Pharaoh in a chariot going across the sea. And on the other side, there is a man with his arms outstretched up to heaven with all his followers behind him. And in the middle is the Shekinah of God. In fact, he even said, that's the Shekinah glory of God between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. And he said this. He said, God has divided us from our modern-day Pharaoh, King George III, and we are escaping from across the sea when the Pilgrim Fathers came, and the similarities are undeniable, he said. And he submitted this. Benjamin Franklin drew this up. Now, these two guys learned this in school. Is that radical? That was Ben's idea. In fact, he submitted that in the summer of August 1776. Our biblical worldview on politics in Israel is God's wages to the world is judgment. God's message to the world is Israel. God's witness to the world is the Jew. God's promise to the world is blessing. God's warning to the world is Jerusalem. God's wages to the world is judgment. I'm going to ask you, tell me what's political and what's spiritual on that list. You can't separate the two. Joel chapter 3, 1 says, "For behold, in those days and at that time," Joel's speaking about the end of days. What's the tip-off, Joel? What can you tell me about when that time is? I'll tell you when it is. When I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, Kidron Valley. And I will enter into judgment with them there for this reason, on this account, on my account, of my people and my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy as a payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Well, whoever his people are, they would have been taken into slavery. Whoever his people are, they will have been scattered from the land. Whoever his people are, they will have been seeing their land divided up, parsed up. I ask you to look at the last decade of UN resolutions regarding the dividing of Israel. American foreign policy on this issue is flirting with calamity. God says, "I will destroy the nations that divide my land." And finally, last verse, we're all done. In Psalm 83, verse 2, God says, "For behold, your enemies will make a tumult. And those who hate you," he's speaking to Israel, "have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said in the United Nations today, 'Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more, for they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy. They form a united set of nations against God." Against you. Capital Y, God. So I hope you see tonight that when you talk about Israel, you're talking about a spiritual issue. And we know this. I didn't tell you anything new in this church. But maybe tonight, it will cause you to realize, my goodness, I better vote, I better speak, I better act based upon a biblical worldview. My friends, this is the critical hour, and I'm not asking you to vote Democrat or Republican. I'm asking you to vote biblical.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Politics and Faith: Why Israel Matters. It's part of a worldview series we're presenting over the next few days here on Real Radio to help believers in being the salt and light in an election season. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, this series of messages is available. It goes by the same title, Politics and Faith. Now here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. I'll say that again. We'll send you this series, Politics and Faith, by Pastor Jack Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the set by name, the Politics and Faith series, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.